This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Harbaugh now heads the Los Angeles Chargers.
He wins everywhere. He wins, period.
Justin Herbert, he's a crown jewel.
Well, you guys better enjoy this.
Quick snap, Herbert to throw.
Has a man, touchdown!
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin
Herbert. On the move, and throws, and touchdown!
I was just trying to show off,
man. I want to be known as world champions. We're going to do it or die trying. Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Who's got it better than that?
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Will Dog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
Man, I'm like floating up here for a whole week. Somebody's got to pull me down. I'm just loving my life right now.
Let's not forget Kyle, the coach, Duggan.
We're undefeated, baby. There's nothing better. I've been wearing powder hey. Everywhere all week.
Only way to get to 2-0 is you start 1-0. Right,
That's
coach?
That's right. We all heard that from coach, baby. Oh, folks, it's just been the best week ever. It really has. Coming off of a win, coming off of a home game opener with my buddies, and
all
celebrating
our new gear that we bought. That
oh,
Kevin
God.
Bought.
We were shopping. And
oh,
came
dude,
back with bags of stuff.
We didn't mention that in the instant, like when we did it in the parking lot, but man, we went ham on the last store and went crazy. It's like, what do you need? What do you need? Let's celebrate
Hard
together.
Not to.
It was the greatest thing.
2 years ago against the Dolphins, we had all these talks about going to the pro shop on the way out.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't happen.
No,
we were all
no,
just
we
like
walked
crying
by that so
and angry.
Quick, yeah.
So I feel like we just doubled down for not being able to get it
we
last
did.
Year. If you look at it like that, it wasn't that much money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop. I mean, come on, comparatively.
Just divide it by two and then it's your normal game of spending.
You're onto something.
I love that. Well, folks, we got a heck of an episode lined up for you. We've got an NFL mic segment and a Craig experience lined up for you. So let's waste no time. Start at the top. When you guys heard our last episode, it was immediately after the game. No stats to look at, nothing to really compare or like get any like quotes from anybody. So it was really just a fly by the seat of your pants. Adam Mundwurf coming in, singing about Ladd McConkey.
I love that.
One of the greatest memories of that I'll ever have. But, What was the experience for us? Like, in looking back at it now, we're a little bit removed. How was that game? Like, what was going on?
Go, Kev.
Not everybody at once, please.
No,
calm down.
It's that swell of that swell of excitement. It's like getting to see all your friends in Thunder Alley, like running into everybody, high fives. The excitement is high, and you don't come out of the gate with a disappointment. So everyone's still riding high. The excitement. It was just so cool to be around everyone and to feel the energy in the stadium and to see all the Raider fans walk away just sad. You know, it was great. And there was a lot of Charger fans in there. So people are posting like, look at us, we owned you guys. Like, no, you took a picture when you guys were celebrating and you were all standing up and it's blocking all of us. So I would say it was absolutely a 50-50 stadium when we went from what I saw. And that's big. Because Raider games were always dominated. So the fact that our fan base showed up that big to be 50-50 at a Raider game, that is a huge step in the right direction.
Absolutely. And
the thing I'll say about too, like the fan base thing, I feel like we've kind of beat to death. Everyone knows where we're at, and we are definitely in a rebuild of the fan base. But I think that what we've done so far with all these supporter clubs, like Die Hard Bolt Club, and obviously we are members of the Die Hard Bolt Club, but I think it's like it's such a unified, like tight knit fan group that it might not be the biggest one in the whole NFL, but it's like when I go there, I just it feels so comfortable. You know, like you could feel like you could go up into any tailgate, any one of the easy ups and say hi and hang out and talk. And it was and my biggest takeaway was just like the excitement that I have to not be terrified every fourth quarter. You know, like, I have so much confidence going into this Panthers game that no matter what happens the first three quarters, I just feel like we're in better shape and we're going to just, we're going to run the ball so much that they're going to be tired and big plays are going to break. And it's just such a different feeling that there's so much excitement instead of like, oh, sick, that was a great first quarter. And in the back of your mind, it's, but you never know what's going to happen.
The shoe's going to drop.
That was, you know, it's like the other team is like, well, we're playing the Chargers. It's going to be a long game, so we better buckle up.
Yeah. No, that was the exact conversation I had with my dad afterwards. You know, from the perspective of being on the couch, and my dad's just like, oh, God, no, please, come on. Don't let them be up by 1 point. Don't let this be a one-point win, typical Chargers situation. Yeah. And now being removed from it and seeing how everybody played, it really was part of the game plan. That's what it was. It's amazing now looking back at previous regimes, how quickly we probably would have given up the run game. Who probably would have said, you know, it's not working.
After the first half, it would have been, all right, we got to throw it 40 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Warm up your arm. Cause it's time to swing into action. But it's awesome to see just how different, how efficient this team was. Like Herbert didn't throw for over 200 yards and he didn't have to. Like that was kind of a beautiful thing. Yeah.
He won without having to do that. Like, and then they talked about how coach was like, you can count on him. He's not going to turn the ball over. So if you have a quarterback that makes the right decisions, but does that, and we still win, like you're just setting himself up to like one day, he just be like, all right, I'm just going to take over this game. I don't need to, but I'm gonna, that's just the way Justin is.
Yeah. And I have confidence in the coaching staff that it's going to be a game plan week to week. You know, like if the team that we're playing has like a banged up DB room, I feel like we're going to throw the ball a lot. But if you're playing against a team which you know you can run the ball, why would we not? I think that it's just going to be very week to week what you see out of Justin. Mm-hmm. Not great for fantasy owners, but I think it's good for football. You know, like they're not going to force the issue. We are well-rounded enough to be able to be like, hey, the game plan for this week is here's our advantage. Let's go attack it. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, after watching the game back on TV, we were hitting, boys. That was some physicality on defense. That huge one play where Brock Bowers, or I don't know if it was Brock Bowers or Michael,
I think
Mayer.
It was Mayer. I think it was Perriman was getting tackled, and then Khalil and Joey coming in.
Yeah.
Dude, he turned. He was trying to get out of the tackle, and then Khalil Mack just come and absolutely lays him out. Like, one, effort play. Khalil's running across the field to go make the play. And two, like, even if you pop up, that's in the back of your mind the rest of
the game.
Yeah, you feel that. Yeah, that was. So I think all of it, too, like Deion had some big hits. Perriman always has big hits. Puna Ford was just carrying people backwards. Like, it was the physicality that I'm not really used to. And, like, you felt sure about tackling, too. Like, we tackled, and they didn't just scoot along outside of the Asante Samuel dive at his ankles. But I mean, he doesn't have much of an option.
Without that, though, I don't see how, you know, there's a world where they don't score a touchdown that game at all. If that play doesn't
happen. Well, they had one snap inside the red zone. The whole game, they had one snap.
And the one snap was us sacking him out of the red zone.
Go back.
That's what it was. I saw a stat on that. The one time we were in there, we sacked him out of the red zone. Yeah, so
This doesn't feel right. Let's get you guys out of here.
Exactly.
I don't think this is very feng shui of you being here. Let's move you back just a little bit. Yeah. No, that's for considering that you've got a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a buttload of new players. this was about as perfectly executed of a game as you could have asked for, considering all those variables. Like, these are all new guys that are still getting used to each other, getting used to the game plan. Like, yeah, there were mistakes, but like,
yeah,
they were minimal at best. And like, we still kept to the Raiders to 10 points. 10 freaking points, baby. So it was an awesome game to be at. Great to be at the stadium. Loved hearing the cheers of the crowd and seeing all the people. And I mean,
we're running it back.
We're running it back, baby. And
I can't believe
seeing this defense, man. The new name that we mentioned, Puna Ford, is listed as the highest graded interior defender for week one. Way to go, Puna. 89.2.
Yeah, he was third behind Dexter Lawrence and Cameron Hayward. Yeah. Like, that's, when was the last time we had a big boy in the middle that did this for us? It has been a minute, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this isn't a guy that's always been with the team forever. So surely he's made that connection.
We knew this was going to happen. You know, it wasn't as soon as Puna's just going to dominate.
Yeah. As soon as his name hit the waiver wire, it's like, get him. Go get him right now.
Well, and do you know who's like sitting behind him right now who looked amazing and I hope plays is T.R. Tart. Like, that's a guy sitting there that can do a lot. So the fact that Puna stepped up and was one of the top three interior defensive linemen is so refreshing. And that's how you stop the run, dude. You blow up that center, you blow up those guards. Like, it's so awesome to see.
Absolutely. And as most of you who were watching the game on TV got to see this, we didn't necessarily get to see this from the stands, but Harbaugh punching, slapping, hitting the pads on Herbert. You watched it the first time and you're like, yeah, he's doing it. But then you watch it again, you're like, okay, wait, there's a
Herbert, he's hugging
like,
him.
Doesn't know what to do with his hands. Like, okay, I'm going to walk away now. And Harbaugh's still punching him in the back.
Yeah. If this wasn't the moment you realized Justin truly isn't on social media, like, he had no idea this was coming. Everyone on the planet knows Harbaugh does this. Justin had no idea.
He did it to Easton in the preseason. Yeah. Easton didn't tell him.
Justin had no idea. He's so not a social media guy, which I love about him.
Yeah, he was just going in for a big old bear hug. He's like, all right, let's do this, coach.
He's a hugger. Gave him two. We've seen him hug.
Gave him one, and then he gave him another one before he turned around and kept beating the shit out of him. It was awesome.
Harbaugh starts punching him, hugs him. He goes, I'm not done yet. Keeps punching him, hugs him. I'm still not done yet, Justin. Just turn around.
We don't hug
punch
here.
You.
We trade in punches. After the anthem, Harbaugh can be seen hitting Herbert on his shoulder pads following an initial tap. Herbert leaned in for a pregame hug, but Harbaugh continued to pound on his pads. I just wasn't ready for it, Herbert admitted on Wednesday. He said, I thought it was a moment to like, hey, let's go get this, dap up. But he hit me a couple times and I thought that was it. And then he kept going back for more. I'll be much better the next time.
he'll be ready.
He took it light on me. He could have hit me harder. He said, I'll ask him next time. Like, hey, you got to make sure I feel some of those punches.
The competitor, dude. The competitor in Justin. He's going to come out there with boxing gloves on and start punching the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, something big's going to happen this game because those two are competitors.
Yeah. I mean, and seeing the pregame, just the snippet we saw of Herbert getting the team riled up.
Yeah.
Telling the defense, like, dropping F-bombs, dude.
Yeah.
Who thought the goody two shoes Justin Herbert would drop it?
We have a Chargers quarterback that cusses, boys. This is dangerous.
I'm all for it.
It's been a while. Unlocked.
But he didn't realize that he cussed because they asked him in his press conference, and he's like, I probably said like dang or darn or something. Like, nah, he dropped something.
No.
He's like, sorry, man, football Justin's different. So he references himself as football Justin. Yes.
Philip Rivers sheds his tears. He's watching. Yeah. He's like, he didn't give a daggum. He shouldn't say F.
Generation quarterback.
And speaking of that, I know we all made mention that, like, we wanted an all-in. We didn't necessarily get an all-in.
Oh,
but if you go to the Chargers social media right now, they have the mini movie going for the previous game, and it's not exactly all-in, but dude. So if you want a recap of the game, that was pretty sweet.
Here's the thing. The people that make the All-In show are still on staff making stuff. So you're going to get the same quality of content. It's just not going to. And I don't mind. I like getting surprised with this. I don't need a schedule. I don't want it every other week. Give me one of those every week. I'm in. Like, I don't need it. If we win more, coach can not take time away from preparing to go do an interview for us. Like, fine. Give me
for
that.
For the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was pretty sweet. Definitely go check out the mini movie on the Chargers YouTube. That was, you'll see the clip of Justin getting the team hyped up and so goosebumps. Eric Smith tweeting out, Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh said the team will stay in Carolina next week after the Panthers game. Mentioned staying on the East Coast time and the chance for more team bonding. Let's just focus on football, man. Come so on.
He told them to bring
didn't
game
he say
boards?
Bring some board games? Yeah.
Board games,
come on.
Yeah. And Justin said he's bringing Settlers of Catan, is what I heard.
Yes, it's a very popular game. I've not played it myself.
I have not either, so I might have to buy one Monopoly. In honor. Why don't we get a Settlers of Catan and play it in our Airbnb in Carolina, Adam?
Say less.
I don't know if it,
say okay. less.
Say less. <I'm
in. laughs> Yeah, I love the team bonding thing. I don't know. Right after the game, I talked about how remember when he was out there high fiving guys as they came out of the tunnel, the head coach is the first guy giving high fives. It gave off big time Pop Warner vibes. Just a coach loving on his team. You know, normally head coach would be over on the sideline talking to his coordinators, doing whatever he has to do. But he's like, no, this is the most important part of football, is that these guys know I'm in it with them. And I'm so excited for if we get to find out what little things that they do in Carolina. To initiate that team bonding stuff. Cause it is so important. When you're at home and you have to go, you bring in the stresses of kids and obviously not finances for a lot of these guys, but you bring in the stresses of kids and marriage and family and coordinating tickets for family members to come to the game, all that kind of crap. But to just be able to go and spend time with your teammates and focus on football and bond as a team, I think, especially week two of the season, I think that off of a win, so it's all this momentum, and now you guys are getting to hang out and have fun, and I don't know. I think it's awesome. I love it. I don't know if there's any critics out there that are hey, they need to get home and rest and be with their families. I think 1 week, we all go on business trips, right? Kevin's gone for 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. It's true.
It's great bonding time with the
bonding experience, right? I'll tell you this. They're going to go into Pittsburgh being super bros. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing, that if you watch that mini movie, man, the amount of fun that you see on that sideline, the amount of good times that these players are having, even on the field as well, and seeing Jim Harbaugh getting into it as well, getting energized, you know, fists in the air, that kind of excitement, man, it is contagious and it is building this team to be more connected. And maybe that's part of the reason why the execution from this team, given how new everybody is, or a lot of people are, how well they execute is because they're having fun. They're with each other. They're bros, they're friends, and they're connected, man. And I love that.
It's awesome. There also were some, sound bites on the sideline when they're on the bench, that were so hopeful. It was Joey on the bench and he was talking to Derwin and Khalil was right there. And they're hey, we got you guys. We'll get you on first and second. You go get them on third. And then offensive guys would come over and they'd be we got this. Don't worry. It's going to click on. We're going to figure it out. It's this hope that we didn't necessarily have because we haven't been with Harbaugh, but they already knew we're going to figure it out. We're going to find a way to win. Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple other quotes here. Harbaugh on Bosa. Harbaugh said he's that player. You saw it in the production and the tackles and the hustle. He was great against the run and unblockable in the pass. Great game for him. The play where he tracked down and caused the fumble reminded me of something Justin Smith would do. Right now, I've got Joey up there with Justin Smith. That's a football player.
Let's go.
Great company.
We want football players.
We need them.
Joey did have an incredible game. After
a fantastic game.
After all the heat that he kind of took this offseason, including from the fan base, even us were that's going to be the guy that they cut so that we can save some money. Mm-hmm. He came out and shut everyone up pretty quick. As long as he can stay healthy and play a whole season, he's going to silence all the doubters this year.
Big time. And then Harbaugh and Joe Alt said he was really good. just the fire in the belly, wanting to prove themselves. I thought that really showed. Absolutely. You're going up against Max Crosby. You better have some fire in your belly.
It was crazy that he really wasn't in the running for Rookie of the Week, in my opinion, because what we talked about it, the stat of like how Max Crosby hadn't lost or hadn't lost a one-on-one battle to that extent since like, you know, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this is a rookie. This is our rookie right tackle. Yeah. So it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. No, it's,
he was amazing. What was it, 19 pass snaps and zero pressures allowed? Yeah. That's crazy, dude. And the only time that Max Crosby had any success is when they were running those little TE stunts and he would come inside and find a gap between a guard. Like that was the success that he had. It was not against our tackles by any means.
And then Dan Jeremiah tweeting out, just watched the All-22 on Joe Alton pass pro versus Max Crosby. The rookie was outstanding. Hands, balance, recover ability. He showed it all versus elite rusher. Slater was excellent on the other side as well.
Now we just need to get...
Dude, we got two kick-ass tackles, baby.
Well, the weird stat is that we were still pressured 40% of the time, which means the guards and the center need to step up. They need to, because if we're playing, if we have that good a tackle production, time to get the guys in the middle on the same page, and then Justin will be clean as a whistle every single game.
Love that.
Well, I also think they brought a lot of pressure. Like, they were bringing guys pretty much every single play. And Justin, I'm just in all honesty, don't kill me. I think he was a little bit rusty. Like, he was not getting the ball out quick.
The first half, he was definitely not the Justin Herbert we're used to seeing, but he stepped up and became that. I think that was just the no preseason, was out for a while.
Yeah.
Give him
five games last season.
Exactly. Like a half game, I think, is all he needed to get rolling again. Because you saw what he did the second half. He's going to roll into that, he's going to keep rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Eric Smith also tweeting out, according to NFL Next Gen stats, Alt allowed zero pressures across 11 matchups against Crosby, all in one-on-one situations. Crosby hadn't been held to zero pressures in a matchup since week 9 in 2022. That's the stat you were mentioning there, Kyle. Yep. Week 9, 2022.
Super mighty.
In a hot minute. Losing a step there, Mr. Crosby?
Yeah, I don't think Joe he is. Walt, I just think I think Joe Alt's that good.
Yeah, I think he's looking just as good as ever, but that's how good our tackles are now.
Yeah.
And then NFL Films came up with their game preview against Carolina Panthers. Not looking good for Carolina. There's a lot of people that...
Powder blew out.
Yeah, it's a Charger win game here. Some have us going even 24-7, 20-3. Yeesh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Blessing or a curse?
They played really, really bad last week.
Yeah.
I'm not like automatic dub. Like, I think we are the favorites for sure, as you can tell by the way that people predicted it.
Kyle, you're hurt. I understand. You have trauma. You have previous trauma. I get it. It's okay.
We all
we're going to work through that. We're going to work through that this weekend. You and me, buddy.
This is
you
a healing me. Weekend. Yeah.
But I just think that every team is, they're in the NFL for a reason. Like, all these players are in the NFL for a reason. They can have a day. So I don't think that the Chargers are going to take it lightly by any means. I don't think that's in Jim Harbaugh's character. But yeah, I think there's a little bit of scars there. This feels like a trap game a little bit, week two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everything points that we should be the better team on Sunday.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Harbaugh not taking it lightly. Eric Smith tweeting out, Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh said he expects the Panthers to come out fired up on Sunday after their week one loss. Harbaugh added, Carolina probably has a bad taste in its mouth. The only mouthwash for that is to win the next game.
God, he's so good at talking.
Because he's talking as if if I was coaching the Carolina Panthers, it'd be a bad taste in my mouth, and I'd want to come out fired up. So if they have any sense, they're going to come out fired up.
Just the analogies, dude. I still can't get over that we have Harbaugh, and we get all these analogies every single day, and he's laughing and joking. Like, I don't know if you watched his, like, presser. Like, when everyone was asking him all the questions he didn't want to talk about, and he was just kind of, like, staring at Daniel Popper, that was all gone in this press conference. He was making jokes. He was smiling. He was jovial. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, you coach till you can't coach no more. Then you coach two
more years.
Like, got him.
I'll be here all night, everybody. Routine. Exactly.
Don't forget to tip your waitress. And then looking over at the injury report, a little heftier than we saw this last week, but that's understandable. We had our first big game, so there's going to be some dings here and there. Joey Bosa showing up on there with the back injury. We didn't see that necessarily at the game, but I think if you watched at home, you might have seen some back issues. He mentioned in the post game he was feeling a little tightness in his back. So limited Wednesday, but didn't practice Thursday. So hopefully that's not a sign of no Joey. But
so this is week one of us also having trauma and seeing these lists and not injuries, understanding how they're going to do it. Like, if anything goes to show you, coach is like, all right, you take the week off, we'll see you on Sunday, is the energy I get from Harbaugh. Like, let them rest. So this will be a good week. Look at this. The players that did not participate, we got Jasir, we got Alohi, and we got Joey. We'll see where they are in game status, because I think it might be different from what we're used to expecting previous regimes.
And I think there's an initial knee jerk to be like, well, he practiced Tuesday and didn't Wednesday. Did it get worse? Tuesday's a walkthrough. Like, so if you just say that they're limited participants, that means that they walk through it. And then on Wednesday, when it's actual go, it's like, no, he's not ready to do that yet. But he didn't get worse. It's just he's like, he's a vet, dude. Like, you're not going to push these guys out and rush them back into practice, even if it's something little. So I don't think it's something to be worried about. He played the whole game. It's not like he missed any snaps because of the injury. So I'm sure Friday, it's the Friday injury report that you actually need to look at. And then you're like, that's not good that he didn't practice all week, but still he's not going to play.
Yeah. No, seeing people like Tarheeb Still, who didn't dress last game, getting some full practices in with his hip is awesome to see. Seeing Jasir Taylor in the practice with a fibula injury, that's something to keep an eye on. But you know what, man, we keep
that's
picking
a
up
bone.
Yeah. Got maybe a bone bruise or something like that.
My back hurts, or I got a bonk on my leg. That's like my bone hurts. That's not good.
Yeah. It's not the muscle so much as it is the bone.
It's more right around here.
It's a little deeper.
No, nothing there.
Not here. Less here. More right in there.
Yeah, because we also saw the Chargers signed another cornerback to their roster, DiCaprio Boodle.
Sick first name.
Great. Cool
name. Sick first name. Dude, even sicker last
name's
name.
Even better. Yeah. Boodle. Give me Boodle.
DiCaprio Boodle. That sounds like Key and Peele. That's it. DiCaprio Boodle.
DiCaprio Boodle.
I love it.
Maryland. Perriman getting some limited practices in. He's got some thigh deal. Josh Palmer still dealing with that knee, getting limited practices in. And Hassan Haskins with the toe, limited practices. So it's a deeper list for sure, but nothing to necessarily get too stressed out about yet. That's another thing I saw in that little mini movie. Every time they cut to the sideline, Ben Herbert, baby, you can't miss him. The guy wears black hoodie, black pants. He doesn't change his outfit. He's not like, you know what? I think I'm going to go suit and tie today. No, he's always black hoodie, black pants.
He's ready.
And he's always on the sideline.
He's like a cartoon character where you open their closet. And it's just, it's just the same thing.
But he's always there, readily available. Should anything happen to these guys, he's ready. Like, all right, get out of the way. I'm a professional. I'm the main man here.
Did you guys see Joey doing push-ups in the middle of the game?
Yes.
What was that about?
I love it.
Ben's like, you need some pump. Get down. Give me 10.
Get your pump on. Yeah.
Don't talk to me until you do. And then looking at the Carolina Panthers injury report. Pretty deep as well. I forgot Jadeveon Clowney was on the Panthers. He had an ankle injury dealing with, got a limited practice in on Thursday. Their punter on the injury report as well with a back injury.
That's not good for punting.
Not good for punting.
He was busy on
Could
Sunday.
Be good for
He's
Darius.
Probably just sore
yeah,
from all
Yeah, that's true. He's like, oh man, guys, help me out here.
It's a big workload, boys. Come on.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of tackles, two tackles, a guard, another tackle. That are on there as well. And their tight end, Tommy Tremble, one that we were hoping to get 1 year back in the day from Notre Dame, dealing with a hamstring and a back injury, getting limited practices in. But the big one that everybody is looking at now for the Carolina Panthers is Derek Brown, their interior defensive lineman, going on injured reserve, man.
Yeah.
This is a big one for them.
He's there. I was listening to another podcast the other day. Like, he's their best player. Like, that's what everyone says. Quarterback, whatever. He was their best player. So the fact that he's not there, I think you might see us running a bit more this game. I think that's a realistic possibility.
Successfully, too.
JK and Gus. I think Gus is going to turn it up a little bit this week.
I'm hoping, man. I would love to see that for Gus. And I would also love to see you guys check out our sponsor for this week, Chris Gates Fitness. We got a new sponsor for the show for this football season, Chris Gates Fitness and his online fitness training camp. Chris is an O-line fitness coach, online fitness coach. He's a massive football fan, and he's created a fitness community designed specifically for football fans just like you and me. Look in the mirror. This is designed for you and me. If you're ready to elevate your health and fitness goals and do it with a group of like-minded people looking to support and encourage each other, you have to check this out. I mean,
that's kind of what we are, right? We're kind of the supportive, positive, get behind each other, push each other forward. Supportive.
Yeah, come on, baby. You got this. Just push it.
It's like Joey on the side, like, do an extra rep, bro. Get that pump.
Come on. This is a customized monthly workout program that will help you build muscle, burn fat, and feel more athletic. And access to live Q&As with Chris, exclusive community support, and more will help hold you accountable and work you towards your goals. Training camp members also compete in fitness challenges each month. You competitors out there, you competitive people. I love people.
That. It's the hard way. Competitors, it welcome.
It's the Duggan way as well.
It's the Duggan way.
As well as sports challenges like weekly football pick'em in the fall, where Chris gives out free prizes like home gym equipment, supplements, free one-on-one coaching calls, and more. And if you join this week and use code ChargersChat, you'll get 80% off your first month. That's just $10. Don't miss out. Visit ChrisGatesFitness.com/ChargersChat, and you can click the link in the description and start your journey today. And after you're checking out Chris Gates, you should go on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/chargerchat. Yeah. Check out all the cool, fun stuff we got over there. Today, the day Friday, we are going to be posting our documentary, our little mini doc about this last game experience. I'm excited for you guys to see it because it was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
There's some good memories made. And as usual, we need to shout out our new Patreon supporters. I'm talking about Andrew Soto and Pappy.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Thank you guys for supporting us over on Patreon. And if you don't want to go over there, it's totally fine. You can go on over to our regular website, chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we got over there, t-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in the member section and ask questions and ask Bold Fam. So go check out chargerchat.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, guys. Time to go into the next segment. It's been a hot minute since we've seen this guy. He's going to be talking to us about...
I'm ready.
This game. Let's take it on over now to NFL Mike.
Charger Chat listeners, we are back, baby. Pumped for the new time slot. Pumped to be bringing you this new segment where I'll be previewing and reviewing the Chargers game. So I'll be reviewing the previous games, previewing the upcoming game. We're going to be reviewing the Raiders game, which is going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be previewing the Carolina Panthers game coming up this week. And I have to say it, the Harbolt era has officially started. Who's got it better than us? No, buddy. Sorry for hurting your eardrums there, but I'm going to be yelling this out everywhere I go. If you guys have been following me on social media, I have been posting me yelling this out. Everywhere I go, I went to the Jets Niners game for a project that I'm working on with a brand and was yelling out this chant to the Niners fans. And they were participating. They remembered it.
Let's see if they remember this one.
Who's got it better
Bolt up. They were excited for Harbaugh to the Bolts from most fans. Some of them were a little bit pissed off that I was yelling in their ear. All right, my favorite things first. For the Chargers versus Raiders game, I'll start off from the bottom here. Ladd McConkey's touchdown. It's probably one of my favorite plays. I love the J.K. Dobbins runs and the patience he showed, looking like Lev Bell out there to kind of just get his feet chopping when there was traffic there and bounce, find the hole, and take off. It was beautiful. But that Ladd McConkey touchdown was awesome, and it pissed the Raiders off to a point that they just started brawling. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more here in a second. But first, I just wanted to highlight that highlight. Ladd McConkey catches the ball, jukes one man, jukes another man. Reminding me of Keenan Allen versus the Cowboys a few years ago. We all know the highlight that I'm talking about. That's how good Keenan Allen was. And to see Ladd McConkey putting people on skates like that here in his first game, very promising. And he even had more of the volume, you know, and Josh Palmer got some targets. Josh Palmer got his work. But we saw Ladd McConkey, you know, kind of be 1B to Josh Palmer already in his first game. If we grow from there, this is going to be special. This is going to be a lot of fun. So I was excited about that. The next thing I want to shout out is Joe Alt's dominant performance in his debut as a Charger. Jim Harbaugh said it. The Harbolt spoke. He said it. He said that Joe Alt belongs. Joe Alt is here. He's here to complete this offensive line. He is here to protect Justin Herbert and give the Chargers a run game. And what happened yesterday? We protected Justin Herbert and the Chargers had a run game and we blew the Raiders out. So I'm excited to see how Joe Alt did against one of the league's best in Max Crosby. No matter how much we hate him, we have to admit this guy is a top five edge rusher in this league, at least top 10 at the very minimum, if you hate the guy as much as I do. But he is a beast in pass rush. He is very good in run defense, and Joe Alt allowed zero pressures, zero sacks. Max Crosby couldn't even touch the guy. And that means that edge rushers are screwed against Chargers this year because you can't just run away from Rashawn Slater anymore. You got to try and get pressure through Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, and we'll see how that goes for all of you. The next thing I wanted to point out, and probably the biggest thing, but not my number one favorite thing, my second favorite thing from the Chargers-Raiders game is to see the halftime adjustments that are finally being made for the Chargers. I know we try to be all positive here, and we are the biggest Chargers cheerleaders. I am a Chargers cheerleader. I went to the game that Easton Stick started last year that got us Jim Harbaugh, and I sat in the front row. So, there's no question whether I'm one of the Chargers' biggest cheerleaders, but I do need to say one negative thing, that the Chargers have not had halftime adjustments for like the last decade of coaches. And this is eye-opening and is breathtaking to see us perform better in the second half in a game. And I think everyone's thinking it too. Like, it never happens for the Chargers in the past. So very excited to see that. And we're flipping that definition of charging, right? To relentlessly running up the score. And then my favorite part of this game is that the Chargers became the bullies. We lost 63 to whatever last time we played these guys, and it just sat in these guys' head all offseason, and you saw it. Go pop on the tape. Go watch this game back. Focus on the O-line. Focus on the receivers blocking down the field on these DBs. Focus on how every single, all 11 of those defensive players were there to try and make every tackle all game from start to finish. The reason the Chargers took off on the Raiders late in the game is because they beat the crap out of them. They bullied them. The Raiders got tired. They got weaker and weaker and weaker the more the Chargers did it. And that is what Harbaugh did at Michigan. That is what Harbaugh brought to San Francisco. That is what Harbaugh brought to Stanford and San Diego. And nothing has changed here in LA. All those haters are going to be real quiet because the Chargers schedule upcoming, it's not difficult at all. And it's very realistic. The Chargers could be going into KC undefeated. So let's see what happens here in these upcoming games. But becoming the bullies, that Harbaugh mentality has been seen on this team from the first snap. And you see it in Josh Palmer. You see it in Joey Bosa. You see it in all these guys, man. And I'm excited. I'm getting the chills right now. I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it because this is what this team has needed. And he's even putting it in Herbert. I don't know if you guys seen the clip of Herbert cussing out the team before the game started. Not in a bad way. It was like a, let's go get these mother effers. You know, let's go get them. Let's not just beat them. Let's destroy them. And you felt that energy from Herbert. It's all coming from Harbaugh. All right, my MVP of this game for the Chargers is Joey Bosa. And I think you guys all know exactly why Joey Bosa was the MVP of this game. Joey Bosa is such a good edge rusher. And I hate seeing Chargers fans hate on Bosa on Twitter because Bosa is a beast when he's healthy. The only knock you can give him is that he's not healthy. That's it. When he is healthy, that guy is an absolute monster out there. He's one of the best in the league, and he wrecks games. I remember that Buffalo Bills game from a few years ago where he wiped Josh Allen out, Matt Barkley out, and back-to-back plays. He is that next level of edge rusher when he's healthy. We saw it in this game that he's going downfield and getting forced fumbles 10 yards down the field and getting the quarterback. He's tripping up Gardner Minshew at the last possible second to save first downs on drives and force punts. And Joey Bosa is an absolute animal. You can see he's having a lot of fun out there this year already, and we're in year one. And he's doing it with the injury to the hand. So Joey Bosa, just keep those legs healthy, it seems like. That's all we need. And he's going to be a beast out there. And then I want to touch on this just for 1 second. I truly feel 60% Chargers fans filled that stadium for this game. It has been times where I felt in SoFi that it has been 99-1 or it's been 90-10 Raiders to Chargers fans, especially like the first couple in SoFi. This year, if you look at the Chargers half of the field, I posted it on my Instagram page also, the NFL Mike. Baby blue and yellow, the entire crowd on the Chargers sideline. So I think that this is shifting. I think Jim Harbaugh is bringing a lot more fans' wallets out so that they'll come to the game and watch the Chargers play. It's expensive. So you got to understand that Chargers fans aren't going to come from San Diego and spend all that money on gas to come and park for $150 to go into the stadium for $1,000 for their family's tickets. It's not realistic in California's economy. So I just have to be realistic. I just wanted to applaud that. We saw 60-40 in there. And I just wanted to also say, Raiders fans, I don't know any Raiders fans that are here. Maybe you guys can screen record this and send this to all the Raiders fans that you guys know. If you're going to come to our stadium and you're going to start fights, just stay home, bro. Just stay home. You can't handle your alcohol, just stay home. Just stay home. We don't want you there. It's that simple. The ones that do handle their alcohol, Raiders fans that were there just to have fun and watch a football game, it was fun. It was fun watching that game with y'all and all the trash talk leading up to the game and the tailgate and everything. But those few that you guys are seeing on Twitter right now, make sure we find those guys in our friend groups and just tell them not to go to the game. Just tell them not to go to the game. All right, let's preview this Panthers game. My keys to victory for this Carolina Panthers game and the Chargers is getting these corners agitated early. The Saints did it last week to them. They got some big plays down the field very early on in that game. I think that we can do it as well, and we can get Justin Herbert going. I think also on defense, if the Chargers' coverage just stays sound, they sit back in their zones, they stick their man, they get in that trail technique and don't give too much separation up. We saw what they did to Minshew. Minshew was shitting bricks out there. Raiders fans always talking about how Minshew cost him this game and everything, but really, it wasn't unprovoked. The Chargers were smacking him. Like, they were just getting through in 3 seconds almost every single play. If they do that to Bryce Young, an even smaller guy than Minshew somehow, it's going to get ugly, and I think Bryce Young is going to commit some turnovers as well, just like Minshew did. It's like the Chargers have a hit list of quarterbacks on their way to Patrick Mahomes. Something that's key here, injury-wise, Derek Brown's not going to play in this game for Carolina. So the Chargers, whose rushing attack broke out last week, like more than any of us probably even expected, will have a weaker front to rush against in this game. I think the X factor on the Panthers' side of the ball is that fact that Dave Canales, that this coaching staff, they got smoked so bad last week. We didn't really get to see their best stuff. We didn't really get to see what they got. So there is a little bit of a mystery here that the Chargers are facing. That's really the X factor, is if Canales has some genius plays, he is an offensive coach, if he has something that the Chargers just aren't expecting, that catches us off guard here or there, and the Chargers offense starts slow out like they did against the Raiders. But I don't think that's going to happen, because my X factor for the Chargers is Justin Herbert. I think he's going to attack this week. We know that he's going to have a rushing attack based off of what we saw from J.K. Dobbins last week, and even Gus Edwards, who gave us some good ground and pound work as well. But I think for sure Justin Herbert is going to have time in the pocket. Our O-line is going to hold up against this Panthers pass rush without their centerpiece to their pass rush even available to go and get Justin Herbert. He's going to have time in the pocket. He's going to have a rushing attack. He's going to be going against a secondary that just got cooked up by Derek Carr and Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave. Let's go off, baby. Let's get Herbert that first gem of a game with Harbaugh, and let's get Heinicke his first snaps as a Charger in the fourth quarter of this one. I have a score prediction of 35-10, the exact same score prediction I gave the Chargers last week. And Josh Palmer was a dropped touchdown pass away from it being around 30-10. Like, I almost called it exactly. So let's run it back. I think Josh Palmer is the type of player that will work on his hands all week this week. He won't drop a single pass next week against the Panthers. The Chargers win it 35-10. Josh Palmer gets in the end zone and scores a touchdown, at least one touchdown this week. Chargers win 35-10. That's my final score prediction. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Shout out to the Charger Chat crew. I will see you guys next week or the week after when I do my next segment here. We haven't come up with a name for it yet. Maybe comment some suggestions as to what we should name the preview and review with NFL Mike each week here on the Charger Chat podcast. Did I just come up with a name? The preview and review? The P&R? Oh, I might have just came up with it. Comment some good names. I want something Chargers themed. Honestly, thank you guys again. Shout out to all the Chargers fans out there. Bolt up. Can't wait for this Panthers game. And I got one more question for you guys. Who's got it better than us?
Nobody. That's right. NFL Mike coming in with a new segment. P&R preview and review. What do you guys think? Should that be the name of the segment?
I kind of like Magic Mike's grind down or something, like something sexy. Oh. You know what that I mean? Magic Mike's a great movie. The there's a lot of sexy dancing. He's bringing us some sexy ideas.
He's bringing it back.
So yeah. Maybe a little more sexy.
All right.
Mike breakdown.
We need more Magic sex appeal Mike. On this show, okay? We need more skin.
Yeah.
I can only do so appeal. Much, Kevin. I've done shirtless. I've done.
You have. Kilt.
I've done kilt. I can only go so far.
Time for Mike to step in.
Yeah, come on, Mike. Give us
whatever you
give
want.
Give the ladies what they want. yeah, no, all great points. Love seeing him at the 49ers game doing the Who's Got It Better Than
That's
Us.
That's so funny. That was the like remnants somebody's of the like Harbaugh. The back of their mind was like, I remember back in the day how to respond to this. It was like, you know, just like memory, just like boom, click. Love that. Yeah.
They're like trying to fight it back. They know that you're not their coach. They're like,
nobody. Shit.
Nobody.
They're not divisional opponents. Yeah, I'll give you nobody. It's like
the
a golf clap. Nobody.
Blue.
Yeah, mentioning of halftime adjustments certainly felt like that this game.
That was the biggest thing for me. Yeah. I didn't bring it up earlier, but that was the biggest thing. Like, I had confidence going in that it was something was going to be different in the second half, and was it ever, you know?
And he mentioned he thought Bosa being the MVP. What do you guys think about that? Do you think Bosa was the MVP this last game?
The turnovers and what he did, like, I don't see how he couldn't. You can make arguments for J.K. Dobbins. You can make arguments for Joe Alt. Like, you can make arguments. Everyone played so well. You can make arguments for Puna Ford. You can make arguments for everybody. But I think some of the flashiest stuff that happened when they needed to happen for us to swing the momentum was Joey Bosa.
Yeah, it was like Bosa, a fourth down stop, forced fumble, a sack. Like, he had an incredible game.
Yeah, that one tackle, or that, I guess it would have been a tackle, because I think he got past the line of scrimmage, where he just grabbed, you know, Gardner Minshew's shoelaces, basically, to make him trip up.
That was huge,
That was so crucial, because that would have been a first down, and that would have kept their drive alive.
Well, I was making fun of him in the end zone. I was like, look at your quarterback, can't even run. I didn't know, I couldn't tell from where we were sitting that he got tripped up by Joey. Yeah. I just thought he was a buffoon. So, my bad to all you Raiders fans.
A little
fans,
from column A, a little from column B. It kind of goes.
And it's still funny, it's Friday, and they're still talking shit to us. You guys have a game in 2 days.
Yeah.
Don't worry about us. We'll see you at the end of the year, and you can live on this for the next, you know, however many weeks, but you suck.
They're Raiders fans. All they can do is live in the past, Kevin. Come on, we know this.
Well, even in the present, they're just like, the Chargers aren't even good. We just lost the game. They didn't beat us.
We sure did it to are. Ourselves.
Sure you are.
Okay. All right, buddy.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. Sure.
All right, NFL Mike, thank you, buddy, for another awesome segment. Brother. Like you said, folks, put some name ideas down at the bottom. We'd love to see them. But now it's time to go on to the next segment. You know them. You love them. It's the Craig Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man. Kick your feet up.
Craig Experience. Hello there.
Make yourself at home. Got some stuff to talk about, right? Moving on.
Now, y'all know I got to start this off by being petty. Raiders fans ought to be dehydrated right now. All the tears they've been crying for virtually a full week at this point. It's a little shameful. You guys should definitely be embarrassed. You want to know the best excuse I heard for like the last 3 or 4 days? That the Raiders beat themselves. If it wasn't for the 3 turnovers, they would have won the game. I'm sorry. Aside from Uncle Rico, like trying to, I guess, reel the ball back in off of a potential pump fake or whatever the hell he was trying to do when he fumbled the rock, 2 of those turnovers were forced by the Chargers. One, Joey Bosa on a strip, and the other, the ball was batted in the air by Khalil Mack and then picked off by Puna Ford. So by my count, that means 2/3 of your turnovers were forced by the other team. So, yo, miss me with that nonsense. Anyway, that game's over and done with. You guys can complain until the cows come home. See y'all again in week 18 when your team will probably look drastically different and your best wide receiver more likely than not will be playing for another team. But I digress. CC gang, the biggest of salutes. And to the rest of the boat fam, what's going on? She got Craig in Texas, and welcome to this newest edition, a week 2 edition of the TCE. Let's get into it. That game was probably what a lot of us expected. Those of us who know Jim Harbaugh style football, rolling out of bed, dude's going to establish a run game at some point, and the defense is going to play pretty sound, and they're going to make you earn it on offense. Here's kind of what I'm expecting for the time being when we're talking about the offensive side of the ball. And while they're working to find their groove in the passing game, expect more of a ball control offense where they'll often find themselves in like third manageable or short down and distance situations and trying to be as efficient as possible. Herbert will have to make maybe a few throws here to keep the team on schedule in those scenarios. And they may still be able to run the ball depending on, like, you know, if it's like a 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and inches situation. And they'll just kind of grind you out. And they'll just have those consistent digging body blows in the run game that yield greater dividends in the second half. And hey, you're gonna have to pack your lunch when you play the Chargers, and it's going to come down to the second half more often than not. You are going to probably see a few games just like you saw here in week 1, where it's a little bit of a lull in the first half. It's just like a boxing match, man. Like, fighters try to feel their way out, and eventually, as the rounds go on, you start to discover what your opponent's weakness is. Except the only difference is when you play the Chargers, the strategy is probably going to be the same throughout. How many of these body blows can you withstand before you give in? And more often than not, if a team's willing to go toe-to-toe, just based on how the Chargers train and the way that they're set up, they're probably going to be the ones with the most stamina and durability to win that type of fight. So they'll take their downfield shots where they can. It'll probably heavily be out of play action, but they'll more than likely live in like the short and intermediate portions of the field in the passing game, which, you know, it's acceptable, especially when you consider the way that the wide receiver room is currently set up. You don't have a bunch of guys that can get super vertical. I mean, Palmer can play and stretch vertically, but he's not a pure speed guy. Lad McConkey's got really good speed, so the only difference there is that when it comes to physicality as a route runner, DBs might be able to body him up. DJ Chark coming back is going to be a big deal because that's your one true vertical threat who can also win in contested catch situations. They tried a deep ball up the sideline to QJ and didn't work out, but that's really not his bag. He's not a contested catch guy, never has been. It's always been kind of one of the knocks on him, but the dude played pretty good aside from one drop that definitely stood out. But again, the passing game is not completely gone. I mean, you've got Justin Herbert back there, quarterback. You're just going to have to temper your expectations because, you know, those big time passing yardage games won't be as frequent as what you have become accustomed to, because that's not how this offense is built. On the defensive side of the ball, expects more of the same as well. They'll play really sound from a fundamental standpoint with like an emphasis on communication and rallying to the ball. They'll also be looking to be super opportunistic and creating sudden change turnovers. So some of this sounds like common knowledge stuff, but it's easier said than done. But with the way that this team is actually coached and the things that they put emphasis on from a coaching staff and a player standpoint, you'll probably see more of it. Would you consider this team the most talented? It probably not, like, across the entirety of the roster. But you know what? Now that I think about it, that's actually not true. Some of the bigger names are gone, but what you now have is more quality depth behind the ones that are still here. So you can look at it from your pass rusher room. You can look at it even in the defensive line now, which was a huge question mark. But last week, every one of those guys got busy. And that type of rotation is something the Chargers have not had in a very long time. And just really and truly, if you stop looking at the bigger names and a top heavy roster and look at it as a couple sprinkled in here and there and some quality contributors there in the middle and the back end of the roster, it makes for a better team overall. And so when you lose a guy here or there, like you see a couple guys on this week's injury report, like an Alohi Gilman, we don't know what that status is. Well, we may know more about it by the time you're seeing this video and if he's going to be active this weekend. But you went in and filled in admirably, getting other guys to come in and potentially play those roles, like an Elijah Molden should be able to step in. And then you got the other DBs who've been cross-training at not just corner and nickel, but some guys that can play safety as well. So, again, kudos to the Don Harbaugh and, dealing with a little bit of a cold here, Joe Ortiz for making this a pretty solid roster in just one offseason. It can be done. But overall, if they don't really get it going offensively, as I said that they will, I think they'll build on that throughout the year. They'll lean on the defense, much like they did, who held it down all game long, aside from like one play where it looks like Deion Henley and Asante Samuel Jr. kind of got crossed up. ASJ did a little ankle biting, missed the tackle, and I think Deion thought he was going to finish the play, so he let up a bit. But other than that, the guys were pretty much rock solid. And they'll play more of a field position game, again, as the offense kind of finds its tread going through each week. And you'll see more of the Chargers running game, where if it's not super successful, at least they'll try to do their best to get the ball as close to midfield before they punt it, to play again the field position game and make teams earn every single blade of grass or every pellet on artificial turf. So again, that's what you have to look forward to for the rest of the year. Folks, don't fret, okay? The offense didn't look amazing. You had J.K. Scott, who went crazy in the second half. Happy to see that. Gus Edwards didn't really get rolling, but they stuck with the hot hand for the most part, except for one drive. I won't talk about that, but you know which one I'm alluding to. On the first down pass to Scott Matlock, I love the ginger juggernaut, but that is not his forte. He caught a couple passes in Boise State, so he has some versatility. I would be fine with trying something like that in the red zone, maybe, but let's not start off a drive that way. Although I could understand why defense may not be expecting it, but you know, Buddy doesn't have all the experience in the world at catching the ball. Let's do the blocking thing. He's much better at that right now, so let's stick to that. But the offense is going to get going, and until it does, they're going to depend heavily on the defense continuing to play to the level it did in week one, and also the special teams doing what they do. Dicker with 3 field goals, so for sure. J.K. Scott, you got off this game, buddy. You had at least one really, really bad punt. I'm going to let it fly because it ended up not affecting the Chargers overall. Didn't really push the game in one direction or another, but get that under control. Ryan Ficken, I'm sure, is probably going to be on you about it, so I'm not overly concerned. Now, one of the other things that I think is going to work its way out, and I keep bouncing back and forth here between all three phases of the game because, again, all three are important. But if you're going to win, you need to be good or very good or really each game trying to win in at least two of those phases. So if your offense is not going all that well, or if it's taking a while to get rolling, you got to be really good on defense and special teams. The defense is getting blazed up, then the offense better be scoring some points and super efficient. And again, special teams better be on his job. And Lord, please don't ever let special teams be an issue before, or the primary reason why you're not playing well. We've experienced that in the past as Chargers fans, and nothing is worse than having a crap coverage team, kick teams, or specialists. The Chargers don't have any of those situations right now. J.K. Scott, don't end up on that list. But again, ultimately and overall, I feel like I'm rambling at this point, but there's so much to discuss. There's so many things to be happy about, and I'm just trying to give you guys some comfort, some of those folks who weren't super happy about the way that first half went, because it wasn't pretty. Wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing, especially not in the passing game, and it did take the running game a while to get going. But you know it, as far as the stick-to-itiveness of the offense goes and play callers, they did what they planned on doing. They stuck with the game plan and it ended up working out for them in the second half. So this week, two games. Let's talk about it a little bit. The Carolina Panthers, the poor Carolina Panthers. I really do feel bad for them because did they take a shellacking last week against the Saints or what? It's actually pretty sad. Oh, well, your loss. The Chargers need to treat this game as an opportunity to continue to rev that engine, man. Just fine tune some things. Get the passing game going, yes, but there's still some room for improvement in the running game. Particularly for Joe Alt, who had an amazing game against Max Crosby. Let's not forget that. I don't think any of us are. I don't want to not give Joe Alt Delete, which has got to be like the coolest nickname in football. That's awesome. Whoever came up with that, salute to you. I pride myself on coming up with good nicknames. You, ma'am, sir, whomever, person, you win the award for that, at least to this point. But he has some work to do in the running game. He has some leverage issues here and there. Dude, 6'9", it's going to happen. But as pass protector is just pretty solid. I had him giving up one pressure in 8 one-on-ones against Max Crosby. Other places had him going 8-0. So we see it just a little bit differently, but I'm not going to nitpick. In this game against the Panthers, I want to see him improve in the run game. Also want to see our interior offensive linemen handle stunts and twists a little bit better. That was a major problem in the first half against the Raiders. And it's kind of some of the same stuff that's rearing its ugly hair from last year when we're talking about like Zion Johnson. He's kind of overcommitting on those stunts and games and maneuvering a little bit too much to his left and opening up those free creases with running lanes towards Justin Herbert, and we can't have any of that. But I know the offensive line will get it together, and this is the type of game where you want to focus on things of that nature. The running game, I think, is going to go off without a hitch, personally. I think J.K. Dobbins is going to pick up where he left off, pardon me, and Gus Edwards will have a much better game just because, the Panthers aren't very good, and they actually lost probably their best defensive player, who also happens to be a D lineman for them. Name is escaping me right now, but dude's a perennial Pro Bowler. And I don't know why I can see his face, cannot remember his name, but anywho. So yeah, some people are looking at this as like a get right game. I just think it's just not another opportunity to hone your craft, man. Whatever position you play, get to it with full enthusiasm, like the kind unknown to man, and just get better for the following weeks, because the cupcake games are few and far in between. The Chargers don't have the toughest schedule, but they do have some real competition coming up here soon. Teams like the Steelers, who are going to give you everything you want, and they have the same mindset as you as far as their strategies are concerned. They're looking to be a hard-nosed, tough team on defense and in the run game as well. So probably be your very first real test. But overall, you want a score prediction? I'll throw something out there for you. Let's see. Let's go Chargers. Oh, by the way, Gus Edwards completely screwed up me. Completely blah, 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 screwed up my score prediction from last week, which was 24-10, if you guys remember. So Chargers won 22-10. Gus didn't get in on a two-point conversion, or else I would have been golden. But this week, let's see. This is probably going to be another shellacking, man. I'm going to say, let's say 30-13, okay? Sounds fair to me. The Panthers scoring 13 points might concern me just a little bit, but, I mean, any given Sunday, it's football. It could happen. So, you guys, again, I appreciate you as always. Thanks for joining me here, listening to me ramble about, because I could literally go on about Chargers football nonstop. And thank you for humoring me. You know who it is. Mr. Boltganger Do Not Bang, a.k.a. TOP_FLYT3 over on Twitter. And yes, you can also catch me as a co-host over on the Lightning Round podcast. Come check us out post game, where we do after hours, and we have multiple shows throughout the week. So come check your boy out over there and support. I appreciate you. So again, until the next time, let's go mop these Panthers up. Smoke their boots. Okay? Love you. Bye.
Well, there you go, folks. Another awesome Craig experience. Craig, I love all the points you're making, dude. I love the it's a hone your craft game coming up here. It's a, all right, we know what we've got. We're all working. We're all click-clacking on the same page. Let's sharpen this up. Let's get this, just tighten it up just a little bit. Let's not have any loosey-goosey moments, but...
Tight like a tiger or something.
Tight like a tiger! And yeah, the Raiders talking about being themselves, man. Come on.
Shut
two
up.
Out of those three turnovers.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. This is a great team to see right now, and I'd love to see them continue that into this Carolina game. Dude, you were so close on that score prediction.
That prediction was, yeah.
You had a little inner.
You were four yards away from that. You were 4 yards away from that. Essentially,
you were one less fight away from getting that 2-point conversion, and we might have had it. But 30-13. I think that's a great score prediction. Which means now, folks, it's time for us to give you our bold predictions here at the Charger Chat. So, guys, what are we thinking for this upcoming game against the Carolina Panthers?
Who's going first?
I'll go first. Kevin went first last week.
Got it better than us.
Okay.
So I'm going, I had this written down before we listened to the Craig experience, but I'm going to go 24-10 on this game too.
Ooh.
So I'm going 24-10 and I'm going to go Ladd gets going. I think that Ladd, the end of the game, they started to feed him a little bit. I think Ladd's going to get going 8 catches for 100 yards. And the cherry on top, no tight end penalties this game.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Very good. What are we thinking, Kev?
All right. I got Chargers winning big. We're going to win 31-9. No touch. Defense isn't going to give up a touchdown. Justin throws two touchdowns. I'm with you. I think he's got Ladd and I think he's got QJ. Both running backs are getting a touchdown. We're getting Gus and we're getting JK. So that'll be your 31 with a 54 yarder from Dicker the kicker. Defensively, 3 turnovers.
All right.
And that's my prediction. 31-9.
Very good. I'm going to go, I'm going to say 27-7. I'm going to say 27-7. They get one touchdown in, but no field goals. And I think this is going to be QJ's game. I think this is going to be his game to come out, because I think we saw some flashes there this last game of them utilizing him in the way that he should be, and someone getting those yak yards, baby. So I think this is QJ's game to get himself a touchdown. I'll take the QJ approach instead of the Ladd approach. Touchdown and over 100 yards for QJ.
Nice. That was sweet. Sick.
Love it.
Love that. All right. There you go, folks. Bold prediction in the books. I think that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat. Kevin and I are going to be flying off to Carolina here tomorrow.
Yeah, less than 24 hours. We're heading out.
Oh, my God. Did you check in?
Check in is in about an hour. So it's on my phone ready to go.
He's ready. I'm
locked in. We're getting a good seat again.
Any other final thoughts there, gentlemen?
Just incredibly excited.
Nobody's got it better than us.
Nobody.
Yeah, and if you're going to be at the Carolina game, we're going to be there in the parking lot. There should be a Chargers hangout
section.
You'll be able to see it. I think they're organizing something. So come over there. We're going to be there. Come say hi. Let's do this. Let's go get the win.
Let's have some fun, baby. This is going to be a good game. And maybe pack your poncho. I'm not sure if it's going to be raining or not. They can't kind of keep flip-flopping on whether or not there's going to be rain. So
I got us some powder blue and yellow poncho. So if you catch me and I have an extra one, I got you.
Yeah, I would love a Harbaugh rain game. It just feels like
just him standing. Like, he doesn't wear anything. He just wears the hat, and it's just like water comes down off his shit. Yeah, uh-huh.
His glasses will be all foggy. It'll be awesome.
Keep talking. Love it. Wet shirt, t-shirt contest. Come on, Harbaugh wins. Harbaugh wins. All right, folks, that's gonna do it for us here at Charger Chat. Don't forget to bolt up because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Kid, love you. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.